I've got several announcements today. The first one is that I would like for everyone to please sign the ritual of fellowship pads that are in the pews so we'll know who is here today. And as you already know, our church is going to be preparing and delivering the Meals on Wheels on Christmas Eve morning again this year. Thanks to Dave Franson, we've got 21 turkeys in the refrigerator in the kitchen for the men to fry next Sunday. They're going to be frying them next Sunday. I've gotten five other turkeys that people are going to cook and bring to the church. But I really would like to have a couple of more. So if two more people would volunteer to cook and slice a turkey and bring it up to the church, I would appreciate it. And I think we have plenty of people for cooking, and I think we have plenty of people to help with the bagging of the items. But we do need people to deliver the meals. So Ronnie Schaefer is in charge of the delivery. So if you can let Ronnie know that you can deliver, I would appreciate that. Okay, let's see. The rose this morning that's on the piano is given in in honor of the birth of Reagan Jennings Morganti, who is the son of Mr. and Mrs. Brian Morganti and the grandson of Kelly Clement Spivey and the great-grandson of Sonny and June Clement. The envelopes in the pews this morning are for the joy gift offering. If you would like to give to the joy gift offering, there's an explanation of what the joy gift offering is in your bulletin this morning. The Women's Circle, Presbyterian Women's Circle, is going to meet at 5:30 p.m. 5:30 p.m. in the parlor on Monday, December the 13th. And Jean East is going to be leading the lesson. Come sit down right here. Come sit down on the pew. Sit down on the pew right there. Lexi, sit down on the pew. Okay. And that, after the meeting, those who wish to do so will go out for dinner and continue fellowship after that, after the circle meeting. If you have not returned your pledge card, please do so as soon as possible. We would like to have the budget ready to present to the session meeting next Sunday. The Finance Committee needs the information from the pledges to prepare next year's budget. Some people have not received a pledge card, and if you haven't, then I'm sure you can get one from Sue. And are there still some out in the? There's still some out in the narthex too. If you never received one. Now, also today, after our worship service, Michael East is going to be in the bride's room to take pictures for our new pictorial directory. And if you can't make it, then you can send a photo for the directory to the church. And I think that's all the announcements. Watch and wait for Christ's coming. Light candles of hope, peace, joy, and love. Remembering the promises of God with prayer. We light this candle of hope. The first one. Okay, you got it. Okay. We light this candle for peace. We light this candle for joy. To those who live as exiles from home in a dark time, to those enslaved as exiles due to others' oppression, to those who are sin's exiles from their best God-promised selves, the Lord speaks the joy of good news. A reading from Zephaniah 3, verses 14 through 20. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Now let us join together in the responsive prayer that's printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. Surely God is our salvation. We will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord is our strength and our might. God has become our salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Sing praises to the Lord, for God has done gloriously. God of hope, God of peace, God of joy, into our darkness come. The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us worship God.
For 102. Seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, We dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin, and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that in the midst of your glorious creation, we have neglected our role in its care. We ignore the cries of the hurt, the lonely, those on the margins, and those who are oppressed. We focus on our own desires while forgetting the needs of our neighbors. We have not prepared a way for the Lord through either our words or our deeds, neither through our actions nor our thoughts. Grant us your mercy and forgiveness, and lead us to act with compassion and justice, guided by your glorious light. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. Having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Would you please be seated for the prayer of illumination? Let us pray. Holy God, our hope and strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. And that is located on page 641 of your Pew Bibles if you would like to follow along. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great is your in your midst is the one Holy One of Israel. Holy wisdom, holy words, thanks be to God.
Please join me. Have you heard the word joy? And you know about happiness? You know, sometimes we have a way of making those two words mean the same thing. But there's a difference between being happy and having joy. You know, if you fall down and you hurt yourself, are you happy? No, you're not. But you know, when you're hurting, you can still have joy. That may sound strange. But the joy that you have when you're hurting may be that you know that your mommy and daddy will pick you up and make you feel better. They're there for you. That's the same kind of thing as Christian joy. Is even though we may be hurting, we know that there's a God who loves us, who's there for us. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so grateful that you are our parent and that you love us and you are there for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Our next scripture is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is the second in a series of sermons centering on Jesus and the themes of the Advent candles. First, upon lighting the candle of hope, we considered that Jesus is the Prince of Hope. We noted that hope is not wishfulness, but the assurance that God's purpose for us will prevail, as demonstrated by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The second candle of the Advent wreath is the candle of peace. We will go back and pick up on the theme of Jesus as the Prince of Peace on Christmas Eve. Today, we lit the third candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of joy. And we consider how Jesus is our Prince of Joy. Next week, we will light the love candle, and we will consider how Jesus is the Prince of Love. During this and every Advent season, we look forward to the finale of our Christmas Eve candlelight service when we will sing Joy to the World. We look forward to the happiness on the faces of those we love as we gather around the Christmas tree on Christmas morning and exchange gifts. We do this remembering the joy of the Magi, or wise men, as they gave gifts to the child who would establish a new kind of kingdom. We do this in anticipation of the ultimate joy that will come with the culmination of God's kingdom on earth, with Jesus' second coming. We do all this in a world that is far from perfect. The words of Scripture we read today from Philippians were written by Paul when he was in prison. Furthermore, Paul is writing these words to people who are experiencing troubles. In the chapter immediately preceding today's Scripture, Paul writes in chapter 3, "Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is not troublesome to me, for it is a safeguard. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of those who mutilate the flesh." In pretty much the same breath, Paul is saying, rejoice and beware. It is apparent from these words of Paul that Christian joy is deeper than just circumstantial happiness. Even in the midst of prison, Paul tells the Philippians to rejoice. even in the midst of their troubles. Paul tells the Philippians to rejoice. Even in times that are difficult for both the writer and the recipients of the letter, Paul's talking about joy. The book of Philippians has been called the Epistle of Joy. This is because the joy comes from the presence of God, not from earthly circumstances. So if joy is not equivalent to happiness, what is it? One writer in the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology defines joy like this: a delight in life that runs deeper than pain or pleasure. From a biblical perspective, it is not limited to, nor tied solely to, external circumstances. Joy is a gift of God. And like all of God's other gifts, it can be experienced even in the midst of extremely difficult circumstances. Psalm 16:11 relates joy to God's presence, saying, "You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." End quote. In God's presence, there is joy. Jesus came to bring us that joy. Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us, makes God's presence and God's joy real to us. This is how Jesus is the Prince of Joy. It's easy in this time of year to think of singing angels and sweet little babies and focus on sweetness and light. However, Jesus, who brings joy, who is our Prince of Joy, was also likened to a suffering servant. Jesus, the bringer of joy, experienced great suffering. The message to us is that even in suffering, there is joy in Jesus Christ. Like so many things in theology, we hold these concepts in tension. We hold joy and suffering in tension. We acknowledge that joy and suffering coexist. Christian faith does not ignore reality, but embraces the difficulties of life with Christian hope, faith, and joy. This is the reason we have a Blue Christmas service, or Longest Night service, scheduled for December 22nd. We don't ignore the fact that we feel the absence of loved ones even more acutely during holidays. We embrace the fact that our Lord, who embraced suffering for us, is with us when we feel pain. Paul writes in Romans 15:11, quote, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." End quote. Joy comes with the knowledge and belief that through the Holy Spirit, God is always present with us. Joy is not an occasional happening, but a part of our continuing relationship with God. The more we're aware of God's presence with us, the more joy we should have. So how do we experience this joy? one intentional way to experience the joy of God's presence is by practicing the presence of God through prayer. Paul emphasizes this in his ending to today's short passage with the words, quote, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Notice Paul begins by saying, "Do not worry about anything." He says this after telling the Philippians to beware. Being vigilant and worrying are not the same thing. The Evangelical Dictionary of Theology further states in its definition of joy, quote, "From a psychological perspective, one cannot experience joy while being preoccupied with one's own security, pleasure, or self-interest," end quote. Paul tells us that joy results from turning our eyes to God and away from worry. Joy results from focusing on the love God has for us and the love God wishes for us to express to our neighbors. Joy results from following the Prince of Joy, who is Jesus Christ. It's far too easy to take our eyes off Jesus and begin to worry. We see danger and violence every night on the news. We see floods and forest fires, tornadoes in Kentucky. We see wars, crime, and disease. We experience financial setbacks and cyber attacks. We see leaders we trusted fail, and institutions we thought would last forever go bankrupt. As long as we put our trust in worldly institutions, we're bound to be disappointed. Our trust should be in the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our joy is in the Lord who is always with us, no matter what. We grow this awareness of God's presence by practicing regular prayer. Paul tells us to take everything to God in prayer. Everything. It's common to make fun of people who pray for a good parking place. But Paul says to take everything to God in prayer. Now, this is not to say that God will give us everything we want, excellent parking spaces included. It is to say that God's interest in us extends to the smallest details of our lives. William Barclay puts it this way: "There's nothing too great for God's power, and nothing too small for God's parental care. A child can take anything great or small to a parent. So we can take anything to God. A little child is quite sure that whatever happens is of interest to her parents. Little triumphs, little disappointments, passing cuts and bruises, all never doubting that mother and father will be ready and willing to listen. We should be exactly the same with God." End quote. But notice that Paul says that prayer should include not only requests, but also thanksgiving. Paul tells us that in everything, we should go to God in prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. Supplication is the fancy word for personal requests, while intercession is the fancy word for prayers for others. Not only do we bring our requests for ourselves and for others, but also we should bring thanksgiving. Incorporating thanksgiving in every prayer focuses our awareness on God, who is the author of every good gift. We should be thankful for the gift of prayer, which allows us to take our every concern directly to God. We should be thankful that God is interested in our every concern. We should be thankful for the love of God, which desires the best for us. We should be thankful for the wisdom of God, which knows what is best for us, even when we do not. We should be thankful for the power of God, which can and will bring about what is best for us. The result of this believing, thankful prayer is an awareness of the presence of God, which brings joy. This joy to the world is embodied in our Emmanuel, our Prince of Joy, Jesus Christ, who has come, who is present, and who will come again. Hallelujah. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words of the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin from the Confession of 1967. What do you believe? Out of Israel, God in due time raised up Jesus. His faith and obedience were the response of the perfect child of God. He was the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel, the beginning of the new creation, and the pioneer of the new humanity. He gave history its meaning and direction and called the church to be his servant for the reconciliation of the world. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 83, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes,
and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Steadfast love of the Lord. Let us pray for the fulfillment of God's promises, saying, Emmanuel, come. O come and save us. We pray for the church. Help us to bear the fruit worthy of repentance, seeking what is true, fair, and right, and proclaiming your good news to all. Emmanuel, come. O come and save us. We pray for the world. Remove all disaster and destruction from us. Bring oppressors and enemies to justice. And restore the fortunes of the poor. Emmanuel, come. We pray for our communities. Enable those who live in fear and danger to trust in you and not be afraid. Be near to all who call on your name. Emmanuel, come. We pray for the earth. Create in us clean hearts that value what you have made. Enable us to share your love for all the earth. Emmanuel, come. We pray for loved ones. Guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, so that they may know your peace, O God, the peace that passes understanding. Emmanuel, come. Sovereign God, keep us watching and working for the promise of your heavenly realm, until all the earth rejoices at your coming in glory, through Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the glory to God. Hymnal to number 92, While We Are Waiting, Come.
Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Live joyfully, no matter the circumstances. Know that God, our parent, sent the Prince of Joy to live among us so that we might have the joy of the knowledge of God's presence. Pray constantly that your joy might be complete. Pass the peace of Christ among you. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.